Signatures for 3 Haynes Assembly recall petitions are turned in, and the pilot in a fatal plane crash near Haynes reportedly shut down 1 engine during the flight. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. The sponsors behind 3 Haynes Assembly recall petitions turned in their signatures Tuesday afternoon. Don Turner Jr. told KHNS he collected, quote, more than enough signatures to initiate recall votes for Tom Morfitt, Tresham Gregg, and Heather Lundy. Borough Clerk Julie Causey has 10 days to review the signatures. Each petition requires 258 valid signatures to trigger a special election. The recall sponsors turned in the petitions about a week before their deadline of June 12th. The petitions were drawn up on the basis of 2 allegations, that assembly members violated the Alaska Open Meetings Act and misused their official positions. The open meetings allegation stems from an email Gregg sent to Lundy. In it, Gregg says he spoke with 2 other assembly members, Morfitt and Ron Jackson, about an upcoming vote on the harbor expansion project. Public officials having a series of private conversations about a public matter is a gray area in open meetings law. The misuse of official position allegation comes from Lundy and Morfitt's comments about the police blotter. The 2 assembly members objected to Police Chief Heath Scott's decision to limit information in the blotter, which is published in the local newspaper. Morfitt owned the newspaper at the time, and Lundy writes obituaries for it. Haynes Borough attorney and clerk emphasized that it was not their purview to investigate the claims, but to let the public decide. If the recall signatures are deemed sufficient, the Haynes Borough will hold a special election. Morfitt and Lundy were elected to the assembly less than a year ago. Gregg was elected in 2015. Over the last several weeks, the Haynes Assembly has seen 2 voluntary departures. Margaret Friednauer resigned last week, citing Haynes' increasingly difficult political climate. Mike Case resigned in April following a contentious borough manager hire. So the assembly currently has 1 open seat and 5 members, 1 recently appointed whose term is up in October, another elected in 2014 who does not plan to run this fall, and 3 who may be at risk of losing their seats in a recall vote. The surviving passenger of a fatal plane crash near Haynes told investigators that the pilot purposely stopped 1 engine to demonstrate how to restart it in flight. That is 1 detail in a preliminary report released by the National Transportation Safety Board this week. David Knott and Chan Valentine of Juneau and Stanley Kwok Wen of California were flying from Juneau to Haynes on Saturday, May 27th. NTSB Alaska Chief Clint Johnson says the trio were taking Knott's twin-engine Piper PA-30 to the Haynes Beer Fest. But at about 11 a.m., about 10 miles away from Haynes, something went wrong. The plane went down on a rocky beach near the Glacier Point airstrip. The pilot, Knott, and Wen, the front seat passenger, were killed. Valentine was sitting in the back of the plane, and he survived, but sustained serious injuries. Johnson says an NTSB investigator interviewed Valentine in the hospital. During that interview, they learned this important detail.
Unfortunately, it does sound like the one engine, the right engine, was shut down intentionally, and they were unable to restart it, which ultimately led to the accident.
The NTSB's preliminary report summarizes Valentine's account that about 20 minutes into the flight, Knott intentionally shut down the right engine to demonstrate how to restart it in flight, but it didn't work.
It's my understanding that they tried to restart it using the battery power, but they were unable to restart the right engine using battery. They then tried to air start it, which means at that point what they did is they climbed to an altitude and dove the airplane to try and get the airspeed up to be able to windmill the prop. Unfortunately, that did not work as well.
The NTSB report says that after multiple failed attempts to restart the engine, Cannot decided to land at the Glacier Point gravel airstrip. Valentine told the NTSB that Cannot wanted to land the plane and use a battery booster to start the right engine. Before landing, Valentine said Cannot made a low-level pass to check the conditions at the airstrip. That was Valentine's last memory of the flight. A witness across the Lynn Canal was watching the plane through binoculars. The NTSB report says the witness saw the plane reach the end of the airstrip, descend, turn right, and then crash into the beach. The witness said the plane hit the shore at a right wing down, nose down angle. The NTSB recovered the wrecked plane and says the damage is consistent with that angle of impact. The Chilkat Valley News reported that the witness, Steve Dice of Yakutat, and his friends helped save Valentine's life. After Dice saw the plane go down, he and Haines residents Tom, Patricia, and Kirby Faverty took a boat from their cabin to the crash site. They saw Valentine was alive but trapped in the plane. They ultimately were able to keep the plane from going under the rising water by attaching it to a backhoe from a nearby tourism camp. The NTSB report confirms that Dice and the Favertys kept the plane in shallow water until emergency responders arrived. Valentine was eventually taken to Harborview Medical Center in Seattle. A spokesperson there said the crash survivor is in satisfactory condition. There are still a lot of unanswered questions. Johnson with the NTSB says he does not know why pilot Cannot would try to demonstrate an in-air engine restart. And there's still the question of why the engine wouldn't restart after it was turned off.
At this point right now, investigators are going to be working very closely with the manufacturer, the airframe manufacturer, engine manufacturer, looking at performance issues, trying to figure out a little bit more of why they weren't able to restart the engine.
The NTSB will also conduct a more in-depth interview with Valentine once his health is better. Johnson says it will take 9 months to a year to compile the final report, which will include a probable cause. The Haynesboro School Board needs more time to conduct Superintendent Tony Habra's one-year evaluation. The board met in executive session for about an hour and a half Monday, wrapping up around 11 p.m. Board President Anne-Marie Palmieri says the late hour led them to extend the meeting until Thursday to complete the yearly evaluation. Habra has been on the job for about a year. He started in the Haynesboro School District last July. He was hired after working in the education field for about 20 years in Michigan and Arizona. Before coming to Haynes, Habra was superintendent in Paw Paw, Michigan. Habra has a three-year contract with the Haynes District. His salary was $113,000 for the first year. It includes a 1% raise in subsequent years based on an acceptable evaluation. The board will continue the discussion in executive session Thursday at 6:30 p.m. at the Haynes School. There is also a school board budget workshop tonight at 6:30 p.m. The race billed as Alaska's toughest marathon takes place this Saturday in Skagway. Duff's Skagway Marathon begins on the downtown waterfront and winds through steep hills and uneven terrain in Dyea and West Creek. Race director Kristen Wagner says 114 people have registered so far. There's a late registration opportunity this Friday evening at Skagway's AB Hall. Most of the participants opt for a half marathon course, which they can run or walk. But there are more than 20 runners braving the full 26.2 miles. Wagner says they call the race Alaska's toughest based on what they've heard from runners.
Generally, they finish and they look at us and they said, that was the hardest thing I've ever done.
The race is a Boston Marathon qualifier. Wagner says recent road work caused some slight changes to the course this year, including an extra hill in the half marathon. Wagner says this year she knows of at least one East Coast runner who is doing a marathon in each of the 50 states. She says Alaska is the last state on his list. he'll get bib number 50.
We're excited about that. We've actually attracted a couple different people who are, they're called 50 staters, and they run a marathon in every state. Because I think we offer, you know, a unique option for Alaska as far as, you know, what marathon they're going to pick in Alaska.
The race is this Saturday. The marathon starts at 8 a.m. and the half marathon begins at 9. The event is a collaboration between Duff's Backcountry Outfitters, the Municipality of Skagway, and the Skagway Development Corporation. For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening.